This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All frozen with monkey sounds in there and cold go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty. We were off yesterday. President's Day. Which presidents did you celebrate yesterday?
Not one.
No.
Grover Cleveland yesterday. Mm. That was who I decided to celebrate.
Or tell you what, I'll go with Chester A. Arthur.
There you go.
There we go. Which Die Hard movie was that? With Jeremy Irons and such?
No idea.
That was the number three.
No idea.
Live Free or Die Hard?
I just said Grover Cleveland, and then I was like, I hope that there's nothing very problematic about Grover Cleveland that
I don't believe so.
Don't know right now. I tried to go with somebody that, like, because if you say Andrew Jackson, you don't, that's not a man that anybody wanted to celebrate. People within his own cabinet hated Andrew Jackson. Not a likable person.
Yeah, I'm related to him. It's fantastic.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, on my mom's side.
Isn't he the one that has the still living grandchild?
No.
No, that is a... Oh.
That's Henry...
Oh, boy. We've done this one before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a minute.
Harrison.
Andrew Harrison?
No. Come on. We'll get there. I don't think Grover Cleveland did anything problematic.
I'm celebrating my Husky King.
Yeah, yeah. But Grover Cleveland was a Husky King.
John Tyler.
William Taft.
Oh yeah, he got stuck in a bathtub.
Apparently, that's been debunked. But yeah,
well, he was a large man.
He was a large man. I tell you what, man.
People don't forget
the particular stylings.
Yeah.
The accoutrements of that era, the clothing, very flattering to the large man.
Yeah, there's a lot of like a
lot of layers.
Yeah, you would wear a shirt, and then, or you'd wear like a base layer, then a shirt, and then the vest, and then your double-breasted coat that just cover everything up. Yeah,
with a pocket watch dangling, chain showing.
That's right.
A little monocle, maybe.
Yeah. All right.
Very fashionable.
All right. Well, hope everybody, you know, celebrated their presidents. Yesterday.
I don't know.
President's Day.
I saw a true American hero this morning.
What'd you do?
When I stopped at the gas station, very large man.
Okay.
Not just husky, but about 6'4", 6'5".
All right.
Just
burly.
Built like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
He's in front of me in the line in the gas station. I go grab my energy drink. And he has a hot dog with ketchup, mustard, relish, jalapenos on it. This is at 10:30 in the morning. Gas station hot dog.
All right.
I'm like, all right. And then there's a bucket of 75% off jerky.
I don't know if I'd like to buy discounted beef jerky at that. Like, that seems like too smoking hot of a deal.
How bad can jerky go?
Well, here's
the
thing.
It's a smoked meat.
It wasn't that it was going bad. They were using it as a way to get people to sign up for their loyalty reward. Like, because you could only get that discount if you signed up for the loyalty.
All right.
But a $20 bag of jerky was now $5.
They'll get me with jerky. Yeah.
Look, and again, I, too, followed up and grabbed a bag of jerky because it was a very good bag of Trapper.
It wasn't just like a discount bin of like,
no,
everything must go, this beef jerky right here. Is it beef? I don't know. Maybe you can find out.
Maybe it's gator. Maybe it's kangaroo.
But who knows?
He goes gas station hot dog, bag of jerky, 64-ounce can of, or bucket of Coke. He said, not that diet crap.
64 ounces. I believe that is 2 liters of cola, just about.
All close to. I mean, we're talking the super big gulp thing, right?
Because a liter is like 33 point something.
I don't want a large Farva.
And then he goes, also, I need a carton of Marlboros.
A carton?
And he reached up, you know, the cigarette counter, they had the neon sign that like flips up. Like he had to flip that up at the very top. I'm like, I can't remember the last time I saw anybody buy a carton of cigarettes, let alone a carton of Marlboros.
That guy
is an American hero.
He might operate.
He's operating under the assumption like, you only get one life, just gonna make it worth it. I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Well, see, now he might operate on a different clock than the rest of us, too. Do you know what I mean? Like 10:30 a.m. for us might not be 10:30 a.m. for him. You know, it might be his Friday night.
Maybe he's going to his grandma's house because I think, like,
grandma still needs your cigarettes?
Yeah, buying a carton of smokes for grandma was like, that's something that you did back in the day.
I have a feeling she'd go for the Marb Light 100s, though.
Ooh.
Perhaps a Virginia Slim.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, it depends on how high up a hill she lives.
Maybe she rides hard.
Maybe.
He walked out right in front of me. He got into a brand new F-350, and I'm like, this guy is...
Rip those filters right off those cigarettes. Who needs those?
Right?
It's getting in the way of the good stuff. Oh, man.
But I was just... That was a transaction that we would see normally growing up.
Did he get gas in the... F-350 as well?
No, he was in the parking lot right.
Okay, because I was like, if he's filling up, this may go down as the most expensive convenience store trip of all time.
He might not have gotten gas in the F-350, but I'm pretty sure he probably got gas.
Yeah, he's dropping a couple hundo just at the old gas station, and then you go and fill that bad boy up. Watch out now.
Oh my God. A carton of cigarettes, a carton of Marlboros was $100.
Yeah, dude, that's what
I'm
saying.
Holy S-balls.
I remember very vividly. Yeah.
They're trying to get people not to smoke, guys.
Well, yeah, because they're like $8 a pack.
Well, no, I remember very vividly seeing the signs at every Quickie Mart, 7-Eleven, whatever. A carton of cigarettes was between $25 and $27 growing up.
Yeah. I remember back in my day in college, a pack of Dave's Lights was $1.79.
Mm. Vancouver Ford text line. He's the husband of the Jacksonville lady.
Certainly not.
No, she's definitely not married. That's a woman that she sails the open seas. She's not going to let any man tie her down. She's going to be single forever. Not because she can't marry anybody.
She wants to keep her options open.
Yeah, dude, I remember that clip. The full clip of that. She talks about having a beach house. She's doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, she lives in a beach house.
Well, what does a beach house consist of in
first year we
Jacksonville?
Took it to the limit.
Who cares,
Shanty?
Dude? Who cares, man?
Shanty?
She's just living that life.
I picture somebody living like underneath one of those piers in Fletch in the sand.
Dang. Mm. That's brutal. Nah, that's brutal, dude.
Well, have you heard this lady speak?
Nah, that's brutal, dude.
Until you told me it was a woman, I thought it was a dude.
Yeah.
I 100% thought that was a dude.
She's a legend. She's a legend.
There was
first year we took it to the limit.
I just
certainly not.
I was stunned by that.
Yeah. Well, hey, you saw a legend of the game. God bless that man.
Mm.
You know?
Look, he's living. LIVIN, baby.
Yeah. That makes me wonder, like, though, if you go, like, coming out of the Super Bowl, right? I was like, damn, I just don't feel right. You know, like you don't feel good. Like you just eat too much. You drink too much. Like you go on vacation and you get like for 4 or 5 days and you drink too much and you come back. You're like, God, I do not feel well. Is he just used to that feeling?
It's like
all time.
It's like how Tom Hanks's kid describes Jack Black in Orange County, perpetually recovering from the day before.
Mm. Ah, well, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Cause like, man, just you go hard in the paint like that for too many days in a row, boy, it gets you. That's for sure. All right, well, we're back. We all made it through Snowmageddon. The snow's all gone.
Dun 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 dun.
Like that was the most predictable thing of all time.
Nah, come on now.
By Friday afternoon, it was like everything was shut down. For a good, 36 hours here. Well, we're back. We're living. We made it through Snowmageddon 2025, and now we can carry on with the rest of our lives.
How you doing?
All right. All the parents out there that had to get your kids up this morning, you went through it. That was a five-day weekend.
It's not the Beaverton folks, because they're off today, too.
They had a six-day weekend?
Yes. Today's like a staff development work day.
Good luck to you tomorrow. There's a lot of door slamming in my house.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening here?
I don't want to get up.
Golly. Slept in too late. It was a mess today. We got a lot of sports that we need to get to. The All-Star game happened over the weekend, or All-Star games?
All-Star festivities.
Yeah, there was festivities. Did you see the number that is coming out of that? The 3-hour event that was the All-Star festivities.
I was going to go with 2 as in terms of the double barrel, middle finger that most fans are giving it.
Yeah. In 3 hours of a television broadcast of when they started the games, there was a total of 42 minutes of basketball played.
Ew. Over 3 hours?
Yeah, somebody did the math on this.
That's not even 15 minutes an hour.
Yeah,
it was really gross. We can dive into the particulars of it, but
yeah.
I made the proper choice to drive down to Eugene and watch Oregon Rutgers, and that was not a good basketball game.
Yeah. There was a 30-minute intro, a 10-minute pregame pep talk, 12 minutes of the first game. Then you had a 5-minute Mr. Beast challenge. Didn't need to see that.
Nope.
16 minutes of game number 2, a 6-minute musical interlude, inside the NBA tribute, which was 9 minutes long, 14 game, what?
Just navel gazing.
Yep. 14 minutes of another game, a 6-minute post-game show to that, and then you had the analyst desk / game intros for 22 minutes, and then you had 80 minutes of ad time.
And this doesn't cover the fact that Kevin Hart was screaming over the top of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me Kevin Hart was too much? No way.
Good Lord.
I think they might have an identity problem.
Yes.
We should talk about that
100%.
Today. Yeah. Because hockey's knocking it out of the park. Like, quite literally. The
USA.
Canadians booed our national anthem, so we just decided to...
And then they got throttled for it.
No, we just decided to fight right when the puck was dropped.
Yeah, 3 fights.
In 9 seconds. Three fights.
And then beat them on the ice.
Yeah, but figuratively and literally. Mm-hmm.
And there's a rematch now coming back in the championship game,
on
USA
Thursday.
Canada.
See, so they're doing that right, but you, like everybody's like, see, the NBA just needs to do that. No, you can't.
Yeah, have a fight.
Well... No, it's the whole thing about the hockey in the four nations working is that they care.
There's real bad blood. Like, there's genuinely bad blood.
The problem with the NBA is you get these guys to All-Star Weekend, they don't care.
And you got to, I will say, and again, we'll talk about this in a minute, there was the care factor was higher than it has been in previous games.
Sure.
By a substantial amount. But it was all the other crap around it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if a network really wants to do it, I think that Amazon Prime would be the one that could do this, because they can buck traditional carriage or Netflix or whomever, whatever the streaming services are. But if you were to tell me that, like, Amazon Prime said, you know what we're going to do? All of those traditional TV timeouts that we have, we are going to get rid of those. And say for like the Thursday night Prime football game, right? They go, all there is there is a 2 minute break in between quarters. You get a 1 minute break for the 2 minute warning. And then halftime is normal, right? But every touchdown, commercial break, kickoff, commercial break, we're getting rid of all of those. And instead, we are going to put on field, you know how the Blazers do it, right? They superimpose a business on the field at any given time, right? Or on the court throughout the game. You say, that is what we're going to do. And then in between, like an extra point in the kickoff in that quarter, then that is when you get, you know, a 20-second ad, because it takes about 20 seconds for them to go, okay, we kick the extra point, where you get the kickoff team on, and then we're on the field. I wonder how well that would be received, especially if you did it like with the NBA too, and you said, we're going to do the same thing where, you know, if they take a timeout, we're not going to do a 2.5 minute timeout.
Keep things going.
Just keep it moving. Keep it moving along. That's the biggest thing that the NBA All-Star Game missed. It's like, they didn't keep it moving along. They tried to distract us from the other stuff. And it's like, dude, just move it along.
I think it's not necessarily the ads that are the problem. It's all the other filler in there, because they have to fill a 3-hour window, whereas Netflix or Prime Video or whatever, they're not beholden to that television window that they have to fill.
Yeah, I think the dumbest part, though, is like when we have the TNT doubleheader, when we have the NFL doubleheaders on our television, they give each game a window that never hits, because they underestimate every single game, and it just pushes everything back. It's like, don't need to do that, guys.
Well, now, am I incorrect, too, in that the TNT NBA broadcasts, they have longer commercial breaks than your typical one, say, on ABC or ESPN?
Yeah, so that's the thing in college football, too, and the NFL, is that I believe Fox has the longest commercial breaks in college football.
And that's the one where... Yeah, they try to hammer those into 3-hour windows when they need 3.5.
And ESPN is in the middle, and NBC is way down there. They keep that thing moving, which is nice. Which is nice. All right, let's get to it. We've got a ton that we need to get to today, and it's not just All-Star Game related. I've got some Blazer news. Are you people watching the Blazers? Yes or no? The latest data says yes. Even though you guys are all saying, I'm not watching this team, you kind of are. You kind of are. Also, you said you went to Rutgers, Oregon. We need to talk about that. We got franchise tags in the NFL. Don't get excited. Not a lot of them are going to happen. And then what happened over the long weekend is the Big Ten and the SEC said, fine, we're going to change college football as you know it. So all of a sudden, we got a ton that we need to get to. Where we got to start this bad boy off, two guys with Blazers connections playing in All-Star weekend, Tumani Kamara and Bryce McGowan, both playing in the All-Star festivities.
Close enough.
Wish Scoot was there. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the All-Star festivities went down over the weekend for the NBA. Tumani Kamara, part of the Rising Stars Challenge on Friday.
Indeed. Came out with a little bit of a bang, too.
Bryce McGowan, part of the G League team. I don't know. How did that go? I didn't watch the Rising Stars
Two came out right out of the gate, knocked down a three, got a little chase down block. And was featured as prominently, I think, as he can be. Bryce McGowan's hit the game winner.
Yeah, I did see that. I saw a highlight of that. That was neat. We saw that. And then All-Star Weekend, we saw Team Shaq beat Team Chuck? Is that right? In the finals?
Yes. I'm trying to remember who was coaching who.
Well, Shaq against Chuck.
Yeah, Shaq beat Chuck 41-25.
I don't know if that hit the mark like we all thought it would hit the mark. It was better.
It wasn't as close, so you didn't get the stuff.
Yep.
I think the two of the bigger storylines coming out of this from the non-basketball or the basketball that wasn't played is LeBron James being a selfish jerk and Anthony Edwards just not playing.
Well, yes. LeBron, 2 hours before the game, said he had foot and ankle soreness. And that
it's been bothering
be
him for years. Then tell everyone on freaking Wednesday, yeah, like Giannis did, and let somebody else go, you arrogant jerk.
Yeah. Who would they have put in there for LeBron?
I mean, pick your West forward.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of guys backed out this year that normally...
Oh, just him and Giannis were the only like two big-time injury guys.
Yeah. At the time, but there's a lot, like Trae Young made it in, mm-hmm, you know, that was interesting to see him flaunt around.
Look, in an all-star game.
After his Twitter fest, post where, yeah, he was like,
it's not getting snubbed,
me.
It's getting Trae.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
All right, Trae. Bradley Beal, stop. Don't shoot 40% of the field and 30% from three.
Yeah, it was better. It was better. I don't think that this is, I like, you know, Adam Silver is trying something, and he's trying to bring relevance back. Not everything is going to hit. This was better than what it has been before, because last year we went over this. It was 211 to 186, yeah, last year. Like, no, that was not good at all. But I think that you're starting to see there is a little bit more of a push to make it relevant, because the players, they are feeling like they care a little bit more, and that there's a little bit more of a push to say, hey, guys, you do understand that you're going to be affected negatively in the pocketbook if this continues to go this way, because we'll just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be getting all of the bonuses that you get from not just your team, but every company that you endorse, mm-hmm, when you become an all-star. The money that you get from All-Star Weekend is going to start going away when advertisers don't want to do it. I thought that charge really started on Saturday night, though, when Ja Morant was like, saw Mac McClung in the dunk contest and was like, all right, I'm going to get into this next year. That's what it's going to have to take.
Let's see it.
They always say
because
that,
because
that's
right? The thing is, like, let me capitalize on the PR right now.
Well, and then you had, you know, he was trying to recruit guys to do it. And then Giannis chimed in and said, yeah, I'm going to do it. The very next day, this was Giannis.
But my tweet, well, I got hacked last night. That wasn't me. That was my kids tweeting. That wasn't me.
Giannis went, yeah, I'm in. Let's do this. And then the very next day, I was like, no, I don't want to
capitalize on the PR and then apologize on the back end. Aaron Gordon this morning, quote tweeted Ja Morant, says, I think I still got some stuff.
Oh.
Look, you throw Ja Morant, Aaron Gordon, Ant Edwards.
Can we say Modest Buzelis had the worst dunk contest performance
who
ever?
Who could have seen that coming? And it's like, it's not that I'm anti-Modest. He's 6'10", 6'11".
Yeah.
Big guys, like Dwight Howard, everybody's like, oh, Dwight's 7 foot. Dwight's 6'9".
Yeah.
It looks different. Like, when you're that big, and Modest has crazy bunnies. Like, mm-hmm, don't get it twisted. Like, he is a freak leaper for a guy his size. Big guys don't look good dunking.
Yeah.
Mac McClung looks like a little cherub angel because he's a little man.
Yeah.
Like, when you're little and you can fly, it looks dope.
Did we not learn this from Dwight Howard in the dunk contest?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. But even then, like, Dwight was the biggest.
Yeah.
At 6'9".
Yeah.
The prime spot is 6'6 to 6'8.
Yeah.
Like, that's the where you still have the size and the power. Or you want to say 6'5 to 6'8 if you want to throw Levine in there. Like, it's you're big enough to like still look relatively normal doing it.
Yeah.
But you're so big and explosive, you can do stuff so much more than everybody else.
I thought Mac McClung. I'm sick of watching a guy in the G League who's not an NBA player dunk, but he did some pretty sick stuff because he took what were the iconic dunks,
yeah, jumping
recently,
over the Kia, the Aaron Gordon hoverboard dunk.
Yeah, with, you know, and then jumping over the 7-footer on a platform, mm-hmm, you know, but he would take it one notch higher, like when he tapped the rim with the ball.
That
and then,
was like, bonkers.
It was crazy. It's crazy to watch.
The first camera angle didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Like, because when you saw it over his left shoulder, it was like, that looked okay, but you didn't see him touch the rim with the ball, pump it down, and then bring it back up, and they showed it from the other side, and it was like,
it's crazy.
Crap.
It's crazy what he's able to do, but you cannot tell me he's the only guy in the world that can do that, right? Like, I think Ja Morant is a great guy. He should be in it, right? And I hope that that push does happen and he does eventually.
Look, if we're going to keep putting Mack McClung in it, put Jordan Kilgannon in it. For those that don't know who he is, there are professional dunkers. Jordan Kilgannon, I want to say, is 6'4", 6'5". I think he has like a 51-inch vertical. Like, it's otherworldly. He's the one who popularized what they call a scorpion dunk, where he 360s and like dunks it with his wrist behind his back backwards.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, it's absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna go full mercenary, go get me the best dunkers in the world.
Yeah. Do it.
And don't include NBA players.
Yes. Absolutely.
But like, then what is this? Like, then it's just literally just an and-one dunk competition.
Yeah.
But like, they're like, I think it's like Team Flight is the Instagram account. I think that's what it is.
But nobody wants to see that because people don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Like, give me NBA players. That was the novelty of it. I want it back. Give me stars.
Yes.
It's all-star weekend.
And I don't even think it has to be stars.
G League on a two-way.
And this is going to sound homerish and local, but put Shaedon Sharpe in the dunk contest.
See, at least he's an NBA player.
Yes.
The only thing is that, like, his profile needs to be higher. Like, they need guys with high profiles. Who's the highest profile guy in the dunk contest this weekend? Because you had Steph Castle.
It's probably Modest Mazzella, probably Castle.
Mack McClung. Castle, I was surprised.
No, I mean, he's explosive as hell. And Andre Jackson, that's the thing, is the other three guys smoked their dunks. That was the problem.
Bad.
Like, just miss after miss after miss, where McClung was, that's where McClung shined.
Thanks, Kobe. Kobe ruined the dunk contest.
One and done.
Yeah.
Just.
That's all he does, though. That's all he does. That's all he does. And that makes it kind of unfair. It's like,
he's really good at it.
Oh, man. This text about the All-Star game is Durant Sprague went through the scores of the 80s and 90s All-Star games. They were high back then as well. Obviously, three-point makes scores higher, but it's always just been a thing. Look, there's a difference between like 134 points or
211.
In 211. We've had 211,
big. There
186, 184, 175, 163. I mean, it has gotten egregious.
There
the
were
last
a bunch
decade.
Even back in the days that were in the 140s and 150s.
140s and 150s. But here was the difference, is that they would start out and they would play hard.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would go, they'd play like the first 4 minutes you were going to get. They would play hard. Then it would go into, all right, everybody's going to take their foot off the gas. The fourth quarter, they were ramping up and it was actually heated. That doesn't happen anymore. And
that's
where you get these inflated. The big thing, though, is that I think whether it's the All-Star game, the Pro Bowl, Major League Baseball's All-Star game, what you need to understand is that they are exhibitions. It's just that when the players care, it's a palatable game to watch. And we don't have that now. It's not for adults. It's for young people to gravitate to.
It's for the children.
But everybody's like, I want it to be like it when I was a kid. It's like, it kind of is.
But here's the thing. I mean, we're up against it
right
now. They don't know who they want to target with All-Star Weekend anymore. Because it was a shotgun spray.
Now, okay, that leads to a bigger question. Does the NBA have an identity issue where they're trying to figure all this out? We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter.
Been waiting for you.
Been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are.
All right, NBA's All-Star Weekend. It's an exhibition. It's just to get guys out there. If they take it a little bit more seriously, that's all people want. But the bigger issue with what's going on is that the NBA, I don't think, understands what they are or what they want to be quite honest, right now.
No, and that was what I took away from the weekend. The NFL knows their audience. It's everyone.
Yeah.
And the NBA is trying to do the everyone platform. I had a holistic discussion about this stuff. Down at Oregon Rutgers, talking to front office and scouts and diehard NBA folks. And I came to a general consensus, and it was a lot of us, you know, over 40 shaking fists at clouds. And a lot of this comes down to, I'm in this camp. The spreadsheet optimization of everything. Of everything. Not just in sports, but in life. This is going to sound so tacky, but like, just letting the thing be the thing without having to wring every last drop out of every single thing, catering to every demographic, every age, every sex. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about running the gamut of everything and putting up this giant tent when the giant tent doesn't matter.
No, I think All-Star Weekend is the one weekend where you say,
this is for the fans.
Well, I don't think even that. It's for the next fans of the NBA. I think it should be because whether it's the three-point contest, the dunk contest, the actual game itself, that is where you find the next new fans of the NBA. And we all remember how great it was when we were kids and how different it was when we were kids. You stop caring about it as you get older because it's an exhibition. All of it is an exhibition. And when the NBA kind of figures that out, and the players have got to be a part of this too, is that, you know, Dominique Wilkins, it was the dunk contest with Clyde Drexler and Michael Jordan and those guys being in the contest alone, it got them so many more fans that were young kids. And that's, it roped a lot of us into the NBA, you know, like
it's a star builder.
It's a 100. And that's where they just missed the mark, except for the 3-point contest is the one where they get the stars to come out. And guess what? Every single person who has been in that, like Damian Lillard, when he did every event at All-Star Weekend, his profile elevated and it wasn't with the current fans of the NBA. It was with the future fans of the NBA, the young kids that were watching it going, holy crap, this guy's doing all of it. And he has the skills to do every single event here.
And to me, this isn't just about All-Star Weekend. It's the, again, I'm going to use the word holistic. It's the entire holistic model the NBA is doing. They don't care about their fans. They care about social metrics and interactions. Watch every Adam Silver press conference. Our social impressions are up. Yeah. Our social this, our social that. It's never about the freaking game.
No.
The state of the game is never the thing. And you talk to people and cover the NFL that are in the NFL, that are around the league, around college football. The game is the game is the game. The main thing is the main thing. And the NBA is too busy fishing in the little trout pond and not fishing in the river. And it's just, the river is your fans. Take care of them. Yeah. Yes, you want to grow it. Yes, you're fighting for eyeballs. Yes, all of those things. But NBA fans are NBA fans. And stop trying to get that one person who checks in twice a year. They're not buying game tickets. They're not buying memorabilia. And they're not buying jerseys. They don't give a damn.
That is for the 82 games. People are going to watch NBA. NBA playoffs are riveting, and they're great.
NBA playoff ratings are always through the roof because it's the one time when the NBA pivots to the game mattering.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we can all scoff at what the NFL has done with their Pro Bowl now, but the NFL got it.
But see, here's the difference.
They've nailed it because adults don't care, don't want to watch. They have roped in. We talked about this when I just sat there with my 8-year-old son, and he was enthralled. Every single thing. Yeah. You got moving targets NFL quarterbacks are throwing at. You've got a relay race where they put on these stupid Hulk hands that they have to catch a football with. He was in on all of that stuff. And it was like they just said, we don't care about the adults that are watching this because this isn't going to be for you. The NBA,
but they made a conscious decision to do it. The NBA
did it.
Just shotgunned it.
And they pushed all in
the
on
NFL
it.
Sniper rifled it.
Yep.
They narrowed the scope. That's what I'm talking about. They narrowed the scope.
Yep. And they went flag football, which is what young kids play, and that's their introduction to the game now.
And look, when you talk about the Big Ten, this is the NFL has the Big Ten.
Yep.
The NBA, stop trying to be the Big Ten league. That's not who you are. The NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, you're not Big Tents.
Yep.
Stop trying to be that. And when it comes to football, specifically flag football, yes, it's the youth and roping them in. What's one of the fastest growing sports in the country right now?
Flag football?
Women's flag football.
Yeah.
And what has the NFL tried to do? To bring in more women.
Yeah.
Again, their scope is bringing more women into the game, bringing more kids into the game.
Yep.
That is what they have decided to do. But outside of that weekend, where is the scope?
And I think that's interesting, though. It's to everybody. Well, it's men ages 18 to 143.
Which, according to our Social Security, you're still alive.
God. I think the NFL was forced to focus on roping those kids in because it is the sport where you saw the youth numbers decline the most, right? You had about a
10-year
run where numbers were declining in football across the board. They're actually starting to climb back up now because mm-hmm. the NFL has said, wait a minute, we need to think about the future fans of the game. How do we get them back engaged, playing, and then into it? And they've hit it. With the NBA, kids aren't stopping playing youth basketball, so they don't really care.
No.
Right?
And their grassroots organization sucks.
They've got to find a way to do that again. Because, look, it's not for us. It's not for the executives who are making the decision. And you said it. They try to wring every ounce out of it.
And it falls flat.
No. It was good to, like, I see where they were going with, like, hey, let's have a Mr. Beast challenge or whatever, because who watches that? Like, kids watching YouTube. They are in. But at the same time, you don't do it at the expense of what the actual product
was. Mr. Beast has 363 million subscribers on YouTube. I get that.
Yep.
100%. The guy has his own game show, has his own TV show. He's one of the singular global biggest brands an individual can have.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't get, but...
And I finally had to relent and let my daughter buy his chocolate bar.
A lot of people do. And, like, I get but...
To the point of wringing every last drop out of it, this is going to go a step too far probably, but just to kind of give the scope of this, if you go on whatever food delivery service that you want to go on, you can find a quote-unquote Mr. Beast burger. Have you heard of Ghost Kitchens?
Yeah.
This is what this guy does. He sets up his own restaurant, air quotes. I can get Mr. Beast burgers in Newburgh. They are made at a Red Robin.
Yeah.
That is the optimization, wringing every last drop out of your stuff kind of deal. And it's like, it doesn't have a home here.
Yeah, you do it, but you don't do it at the detriment of the product.
Because that was the thing. And like the whole idea of like bringing Kevin Hart out. Put Kevin Hart in the celebrity game. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Do not have him MC and scream. Oh, every single person I know who is a diehard sicko basketball fan, and every single person I know who watched that game was like, what the hell is Kevin Hart doing? It was the Venn diagram was a circle of what the hell is he doing?
Even kids that, if you're trying to cater to kids, they were like, I don't get it. Missed it.
Everything but the game was just too much, and it's just... I don't like Adam Silver.
Oh, okay.
Like almost everything he has done outside of like the in-season tournament has been stuff that I'm just like, what the hell, man? What the hell? It's just missing the mark over and over and over and over again. Making the in-season tournament was like, that's the thing where you made basketball matter more. That's why it was good.
Yeah, they are caring way too much about the wrong metrics right now, and it's missing the mark.
Everybody
missing
wants
the mark.
Do you remember 15 years ago, the pivot to digital, the pivot to video?
Yeah.
It still hasn't happened.
Well, you know what has happened? You know the Blazers are the number one team in the NBA?
Oh.
Yeah, did you know this? Have you seen this?
I have, yeah.
The Blazers are number one in the NBA after one of the most stark fall-offs of all time. We'll tell you why next. And they have hit the mark. Danny Dusty on the Fan. Are you watching the Portland Trail Blazers more? Not you. That's not a question for you. Because the latest metrics will say, yes, you are.
By a substantial margin.
This came out from Sports Business Journal over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The Portland Trailblazers are number one in the NBA in year to year for broadcasting. They are up 69%, year to year from last year. The jump to local, over the air, and direct to consumer, that means going to K2 and Blazer Vision, has been a big benefit for eyeballs on the Blazers.
And those ratings actually don't count Blazer Vision.
Yeah.
That ratings increase. That ratings increase is the local TV audience only. Full disclaimer here, I obviously am employed by K2. I've seen the ratings. They have all increased month over month over month. And the when I saw the ratings come out on, was it Thursday or Friday, I was pleasantly surprised. And what's interesting is, for people that don't know, none of the streaming platforms are factored into ratings for anybody yet, because Nielsen still exists, and that's still the metric for everything. And we haven't found a better way to do that yet. And all of the streaming platforms that are run through the NBA, like Blazer Vision, are held under lock and key. So we actually don't know what those numbers actually are. But yeah, when you make it more widely available, and for everybody that's still mad about it not being on YouTube TV, I know they're still working on it. It's a YouTube thing. Hopefully it gets addressed here soon in the future.
They've got to figure out CBS before March Madness.
They got it.
Was that Saturday or Sunday?
It's taken care of. CBS, Paramount, it's already done with YouTube TV.
Yeah. And so since they got that done, maybe now they can get to this, because that was a big deal, because they were about to have no March Madness.
That's not going to be okay for them, for their partners. But yeah, no, ratings. And here's the thing. The ratings are up substantially. Not only did they increase year over year by 69%, again, nice. The team isn't good.
No.
And they're still doing that.
No. In this, they said, though, some of the numbers that had been kind of stuffed to the side, they gave up between 20 and $25 million in rights fees to Root every year for this.
Yes.
So
that goes
to the Jody Allen, all she cares about is money. They gave up $20 to $25 million in rights fees, to where they do get rights fees from K2. We don't know how high they are, but they're having to make up for that in selling all of their own advertisements.
And I will say with absolute certainty, that number is correct.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of money.
That's $50 million.
You're guaranteeing
you wrote $50 million off and sent it out the window. And this is, you know, for all the people that want to say that Jody Allen is the worst boogeyman. Again, she's not the best owner in sports. I'm not saying that. Everybody gets this twisted. But the whole idea of, like, that she's just making money and doesn't care. She's investing money. She's giving up money. Like, it's not a situation. You don't have John J. Fisher.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, it's... Do I want the ownership stuff to be, you know, taken care of and have certainty going forward with a new owner? Yes, unequivocally.
Yep.
But the whole idea that, you know, they're just churning this out for a buck? No, they're trying to make real changes. We're going to get word here probably the next week or so on some upcoming changes at Moda. Like, there's stuff that they're doing, that they're trying to make the experience for the fan better.
What I think will be interesting is they're making money off of this, even though they took the 20 to 25 million. Because here is, they mentioned this in the article. So the Blazers aren't the first. The Suns and the Jazz went over the air as well, and they kind of went this model.
Pelicans too.
But they said that it had Jazz and Suns year two have not reaped the benefits that they did in year one. And obviously you're not going to have a continued climb, because you're just accessible way more in year one, that you're not going to be accessible.
The spike goes up and then starts to narrow.
But they said they weren't able to be as profitable as the Blazers. And we said this from day one, is that the Blazers are one of, I think, two or three organizations in the NBA that does all of their broadcasts in-house.
Yes.
They already had all of the equipment. They already had plan of how to do it and produce the broadcast themselves. So the startup costs on that wasn't that much. And also, they have also had in-house sales for Blazers Broadcasting, which both those two teams, the Jazz and the Suns, they had to go and hire all of that.
Everything.
And they had to start from scratch. The Blazers were more equipped, so they're actually doing a lot better.
And teams around the NBA, they come and talk to the Blazers about how to do it.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing it longer than everybody else.
Hmm. Well, Blazers, number one in the NBA at something. They got that right.
Look, it's, and people on the text line are, you know, doesn't that highlight how terrible the viewing options were in the past?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why they finally said, all right, we're going to take a bath on this for doing something for the fans.
Look,
and they make no mistake about it. Single game ticket sales have gone up as well because of this, because more people are able to watch the games. It's actually, wow, you treat your fans right and they come back around. What?
Look, the whole idea of going to Comcast was that it would, when they first made that deal, people forget that not every game was on TV before that.
Yeah.
There's a Mandela effect that all 82 games were on TV in the past. That wasn't the case. The first time that happened was with Comcast.
Yep.
And the whole idea...
Not even the old, like, Fox Sports Northwest?
No.
No?
Never.
Okay.
And the thing beyond that is, when they signed that deal with Comcast, there was this belief from all parties that Dish and DirecTV were going to be a part of it. And then it turned into that whole rights fiasco. That was the whole RSN issue for a decade.
Yeah.
And they decided to go down this path, and I'm glad they did.
Yeah. All right. Well, Blazers at least number one in something in the NBA.
There you go.
All right. Hey, there was big news out of the world of college football over the weekend. Ross Dellinger does it again, and the playoff could be expanding, but what could be the result of that is something that I've been talking about championing for years, and it could actually happen. It could actually happen. And it's not just the SEC playing nine conference games. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.